Mahmoud Khalil is a Palestinian who refused to remain silent while watching a genocide in Palestine. A genocide that's, of course, committed by the genocidal state of Israel, that's funded by the U.S. government, that's invested by Columbia University.
Mahmoud Khalil, addressing over 1,000 supporters as well as the press outside the Cathedral of St. John the Divine in Manhattan. He then led a march as the marchers held the banner, "Welcome home, Mahmoud." He wore a Palestinian flag as a cape, and they marched from 110th Street, where the cathedral is, to Columbia University at 116th Street. Mahmoud Khalil still faces deportation, but now can deal with these proceedings as a free man, with his wife, Dr. Noor Abdallah, and his newborn son, Dean Khalil. That does it for our show. Special thanks to Laura Bastios. To see our job openings, go to democracynow.org. I'm Amy Goodman.
This is Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz, and this is KBOO Portland.
Support for KBOO comes from its members and from Good in the Hood, a multicultural music and food festival on June 28th and 29th at Lillis Albina Park. The event will kick off with a parade at 11 a.m. Saturday on MLK Boulevard and feature two full days of live music, live vendors, and activities. This event is all ages. More info at goodinthehood.com.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
You're listening to KBOO News In Depth. I'm Hannah Francis.
There's currently a petition circulating for Portland City Council to appeal and revoke the 2011 permit for the operations of the ICE Field Station in Portland, Oregon. And you two are the ones who have made this happen. What's the current goal for the number of signatures?
So yeah, the goal is to get it to 10,000. And then the only other layer to that is that, having learned a lot of lessons from the previous occupation, the goal is to make sure that our comrades who are out there on the streets doing work that we did, you know, when we were a little bit younger, not to say that we'll never go out there again, but doing work that we've already done, we don't want to see people hurt and injured by the police and actually end up once again with no gain and no win. And so this is a petition that is made with the goal of having long-term change and accomplishing a goal that is a common goal for everyone who's out there. Yeah. You want to add to that?
Yeah. Thank you, Sue. Thank you, Hannah, for having us, and greetings to the audience. I think the main goal with getting signatures, the main goal would be to have ICE out of Portland, simply not allowing ICE to operate within the city limits. And I think that we are, I think Portland specifically is in a place with very specific conditions that may enable or allow for something such as a petition to move forward and have this done, and have this permit be revoked, given that this permit was given to ICE back in 2011. This was a decision done by City Council and Portland City Government back then in 2011. The people voted to, you know, have this permit, you know, move forward and allow ICE to operate in the city are no longer in office. We know what ICE have, what the role of, you know, what the role of ICE have been during the last, well, since the beginning of the agency, which is to violate human rights and to target immigrants in our community. And then I think there are some specific conditions. Now we have a new city council. This is the first time that we are, not only because they're newly elected, but we have a new, the city, the way it works right now is different than the way it used to. And now there are more, you know, city council members as part of city government. And so I think there are some very specific and unusual opportunities here to have this being rectified and revoke this permit, which, you know, enables an agency to operate causing harm in our community. And so there is a chance, there is an opportunity for ICE to be, you know, kicked out of the city. And of course, the main goal, long-term goal, will be to abolish ICE. But I think whatever that we can do in the meantime, in this case, helping to revoke a permit to prevent a detention facility to continue from operating, I think that would be very important and would be helpful for our community.
Absolutely, well said. So as far as the actual process of the petition, it's asking the city council to first appeal and then revoke this permit. Yes. So what does that process look like?
Well, that is what we can detect. And from my, you know, research of how this could be done, what I can see is that it would require a counselor or perhaps a little cadre of counselors to come forward with a recommendation, or you could call it anywhere between a recommendation and a demand to appeal or to appeal that 2011 permit. The language does seem to state that there has to be some type of violation of the previous permit or of the terms of the permit. But there is another nuance there that's simply the truth, which is that there's a school across the street. Most people probably already know this. We can now clearly see there's been nearly a decade of public protests and complaints from the school, not about the protests, but about ICE and the toxic chemicals and the munitions that they're using near the school. So indeed, there's even a convenient nuance for a brave counselor or cadre of counselor, city counselors to pick up on and say, yes, in fact, this permit is in violation of the agreement. If they could not also notice the violation of human rights that predicates the whole situation. So we're looking for some courage here. And not only are we looking for it ourselves, but we're rolling deep with nearly 6,000 signatures and we're headed for more. We also, you know, I want to state my solidarity with the people who are down there. I feel it so very strongly that I'm compelled to go there at times, to go back because of our history with protesting ICE and protesting at the ICE Detention Center. And that said, I really believe in the next generation of organizers, and I hope anyone listening to this now knows that they are believed in and supported by us and knows that some of us are nearing 50 years old and some people are nearing 60 and 70 years old, you know, that are our elders. So there has to be a new generation of people to do the work that is on the ground. And it has to be recognized the level of risk that people have taken, you know, putting our names out there. And so I'm going to try to keep myself really focused on this one thing right now, which is the petition, and yet continue to state my solidarity and love with the people on the ground when I can't be there. But I certainly will be there at times and encourage people to be there if they can.
I would add that this facility is owned by a private individual, and so essentially the city, when they, in the way that I interpret it, right, the city did business with ICE and this and the owner of this business so they can run the facility
and make money, so, huge profit.
And I believe that if they were able to issue this permit, then they are able to undo it or revoke it. In terms of how are the processes for the city to do it, they have not yet made any statements beyond acknowledging that they have heard our statements back in the 21st, and that they have received the petition with the signatures at the time, which were almost 2,000. But that's something that city council needs to get with it, because I think we also have the opportunity now that we know that things are what is going on all over the country in LA, and our solidarity with the people in LA and people all over the states standing up to ICE in any way that they can or want to. But I want to say that what I wouldn't like to see is that a raid that takes place here in Portland and does what it does, which is to harm people, separate families, remove people from our communities, and then having politicians making a press conference about how ICE is so bad, and which we already know.
I want to interject there, because my first reaction when I hear Pedro say that is that, well, that has happened before. Mm-hmm. And I know where he's coming from, because I know we both know about the plants and places where that happened here in Portland already. And that Pedro's speaking about something that we've seen go on, which is, yeah, politicians grandstanding over the issue over a period of decades or years, and actually not addressing the underlying issue, which the public has shown dissent against for the same amount of time. So yeah, that's a problem. We don't want to see the harm to the community, and we don't want to see the repetition of the charade, I guess. Is that accurate?
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, as I mentioned before, or we mentioned before, there is an opportunity, and I think there we have a city council that must be empowered to take action, you know, make decisions, take action, and follow through with the demands of the people, and that and be on the right side of history.
You all mentioned that you took this already to City Council on May 21st. What was the reception like for that?
I'm so interested to see how we both respond to this question, because I know that people watching told me that while Pedro was speaking, I was looking around and they could see me carefully observing, and that while I was speaking, Pedro was carefully observing. So our observations of you know, how we were received may be different. But my experience was that there were some council members who seemed like they were very much trying to look me directly in the eye and tell me without saying, this is my perception, that this issue means a lot to them too. And that those looks being looked at directly in the eye by a few people, and really having that interaction was meaningful, and it seemed meaningful. And at the same time, the lack of any follow-up, although I can make space in my framework of understanding for the grandiosity of the work that is up ahead of them in terms of houselessness and the entire condition of the city as a whole, I can make room and patience in my heart and just in my understanding of the situation for there to be some delay. And at the same time, I can't understand how anyone could ride in on a constituency saying that they're for immigrants' rights, or even saying they're from an immigrant community. I'm sorry, I'm going to go ahead and say what I think and what I feel. I can't understand how someone could ride in, collect the votes of people saying that they're for immigrant rights and not have spoken up yet. I don't get it. I do invite, we still are keeping the door open for people to reach out and not just try to reach out underground, hint, hint, but actually try to communicate and do their job and have the courage they need to have and have the conversations between them. I can understand they're a new council. And maybe they don't have the trust among one another, but they got to find it, just like we have to find it with the people that are coming forward and showing support for one another in different ways in this movement. They need to find that. And if they don't want to do it alone, then they've got to buddy up. And, you know, I'm not just talking about the people on the council who are from immigrant backgrounds. I'm absolutely addressing everyone who has a conscience about human rights, everyone and anyone who's willing to step forward. But yeah, my feeling was I had a better feeling while being there than I thought I would. And it was because of the way that they looked me dead in the eye. And I felt like the president of the council, you know, told us that she thought, this is not a direct quote, but it almost is, she thought that there would definitely, she said something like this, and you can go back and review it, that there would definitely be some further discussion, and she could see from the reactions that some of the council members were very interested in this issue and that this would not be the last time they would discuss it. So that was my understanding. With the urgency that's clearly not just coming from us, but coming from the state of human rights in this country in general, yeah, it's just not a time for inaction from people who rode in on immigrants' rights. That's just not going to work. So I hope that's not too negative. What about you, Pedro? How were you received?
Oh, yeah, I think I had a very similar experience to what Susie just described. And I hope that they earn, you know, keep the world, the word about what their follow-up is going to be. And I hope that doesn't delay much. I want to also, like Susie just said, I want to give space and for council to do what they need to do, and also honor that, you know, they are in a complex situation based on all the issues that the city faces. But at the same time, we know that federal government is ramping up and trying to push the gas on all these raids and all that. And so I think the time is right and the conditions are right to fight back and stand up to the government, stand up to Donald Trump, stand up to fascism.
Pedro was saying, I hope there won't be much of a delay. And, you know, I'm just going to say, my feeling is there's already been too long of a delay. We're beyond, I hope there isn't any more of a delay. For me, we're but beyond that. It's unacceptable. for us to have already brought 2,000 signatures. At the same time, we're not staying in that place. We're going to continue to persist and show up with more and more signatures. The problem there is that there's no appointments until September. So they literally have to act. And it's not just a conversation we want. We've been clear about what we want. We want them to revoke the permit.
Knowing that ICE have been removing people without legal due process is not enough. If that is not enough violation of human rights, then I don't know what, you know, what will do it.
Yeah. Are there specific counselors that you are hoping to hear back from or reach out to?
You know, in my heart of hearts, it's not that I don't want to be blamed, I guess, for putting the people on the spot who are from immigrant communities. I don't want to be blamed for that, because that's how politicians are. They'll turn it around and saying they're being targeted or something like that. Mm-hmm. When we're placing ourselves at risk and have done that for a long time. Anyway, I'm not going to say those names, but I think you can intuit that, of course, if someone is from an immigrant community, I would hope that they would see this as a bridge that could be built to solve a problem impacting their community. But the reason I'm also not going to say those names is because I think that, you know, I am a white person. I think that one thing that I've learned in movement work is that it is our responsibility as well to untangle and dismantle systems of oppression, especially the bureaucratic ones that our often training gives us nuanced understanding about how it operates. So I don't think that counselors who are members of immigrant communities should have to walk it alone. And I want to see who is going to step up and represent, and we'll be open to whoever makes that call. So I that's my answer. What about you, Pedro?
No, absolutely. I agree. And I want to say also that, you know, for those who are white, I want to see, you know, white council members stepping up. And because oftentimes there is this, especially white men in council, because oftentimes that's how white supremacy works.
That's who voted it in.
White male supremacy works, and not necessarily calling on people specifically. I'm talking about the bigger system as a whole, in which oftentimes white men seem to have the entitlement or the right to just remain silent and see everybody else engage in difficult conversations and difficult decision making. So when we went to city council, we went to petition everybody. So I want to see everybody engaging, and I want to get, and I want to see the day where, you know, city council is getting together in a public meeting and putting this permit on a vote. Mm-hmm. I want to see them motioning, and on that day
we will do our best to roll deep in support. Let's put it that way. On the day that vote takes place, you know, we would very much like to be there, and if we can't, you know, like if they don't let us in, we will be celebrating that, and celebrating the courage of the people who actually do that, who actually have the courage to take to make the demand and mm-hmm. vote in the way that clearly the public is asking for.
Yeah. So are you planning on taking this back to city council, or are you hoping for action from them?
As of yesterday, I was checking, you know, there's a system you have to go through. You have to sign up for an appointment. So as of yesterday, I was trying to sign up for an appointment, but there's no appointments until September. Mm. You know, and I've communicated with some of the different groups, you know, regarding this. It's not just a lack of transparency. It's exactly how you'd hope things would operate better with more council members. You'd hope that there would be a greater efficiency, right? So there's not greater efficiency, and there are a lot of issues facing them, but now they're in a conundrum. What do they do when protests are breaking out? And they're not just here in Portland. They're, as you know, nationwide, but they all are also here in Portland and in Oregon. What do they do to respond to a problem that's both immediate and long term? So I want to definitely make sure to reiterate that ever since the opening of this center and ever since this permit was issued, there have always been problems. It has never been something Portlanders have wanted. And it's also not just a not in my backyard issue, because we have protested all the way up to Tacoma, and we will protest the nationwide issue too. But this is something we can change, and there is no excuse for continuing to allow that permit. So
I would add that in terms of the processes, the part where there is a big gap is that thus far what they have communicated is that we can sign up to go and speak, but that does not necessarily mean that they are putting the issue on their agenda.
That's right.
So in terms of what would it take for them to put the issue on their agenda, and that it would be that there would be a public discussion on this issue, we're not there, we don't have the steps to get to that point are not clear.
And to me, the public discussion on this issue is happening every night at the ICE Detention Center. I am not calling for a public discussion on this issue. I'm calling for a vote. I want to make it crystal clear that we want the permit revoked. The discussion has been had over the past decade, and it will be had tonight. It will be had on Saturday night. I don't have to be a psychic. I have the wisdom of having seen the cycles of protest over two decades to know what is going to happen, and that there's going to be people voicing concerns because they have no recourse. We are not calling for a public discussion. We are calling clearly for the revocation of that permit. And Pedro's right. One way that the council could make that happen faster is by adding that to the agenda. But what they'd need to do is to add that to the agenda is to call for an appeal to that vote. So that is what we're
exactly
asking.
That's exactly what I mean.
Right.
Is there anything else that you would like to get out there?
Well, when I say that, if you haven't signed the petition, there is a petition open. It has how many?
Almost 6,000.
Almost 6,000 as of today. Please, we need to ramp it up and have more signatures. So please, if you haven't signed it, please do.
And then I'd also say the occupation, you know, or let's even, you can call it an occupation, but you could also call it a demonstration of people's truest feelings about human rights that is going on at the McAdam facility. If people are thinking of going down there, I think it's a good idea to go down there and pay some respect, and also show up for the many different opportunities there are to participate in direct action. I believe that all the way through this summer, there are going to be opportunities to show up. And I want people to know that elders are welcome, that children have to be welcome, that we as movement have to be able to create spaces where all different types of people are welcome and all different ages. So that means that there will be people who go out only at night, and there will be people that go out in the morning and people that go out during the day. And that's all okay. The key is to not stop showing up. And yes, we're trying to get 10,000 signatures right now. If you have a church group, if you have a mosque, if you have a synagogue, if you have a coven, if you are a member of a atheistic philosophical group, or that you just have some friends, we need everyone. We need everyone to sign that petition. And yes, we particularly need people who live in Portland or surrounding areas here in Oregon who are impacted, because they don't want to see violations of human rights happening right here and people making a profit off of that. So yes, we need help with that.
We support a diversity of tactics, and I think people should show up and express in whatever ways that they can. And I think in terms of direct action, I want to remind people that while a lot of the images that we see on TV and social media and so on about the protests that, you know, seem like they're dangerous and so on, I want to say that it is when people come out, even with families and so on, and you make it a place where you're holding space as family or children friendly and so on, and you add numbers, we find safety on that. And so it is expressing and protesting can be done in many different ways. And so there are many narratives out there in various media outlets, including, you know, the good protester, bad protester narrative and who incited who. And I think when people show up in ways they are where they're holding space in their own way and creating safety, that really helps to change the narrative and prevents media outlets and the government from vilifying who's out there, you know, expressing their right to for freedom of speech.
Exactly. And finally, or one final thing I want to say is, we do have the option to march to city council, or groups have the chance, the opportunity at any time of day to confront city council members in whatever capacity they feel comfortable with. That is their own prerogative. Our choice is to maintain focus on the petition, but there are different options we have when we are left with no recourse. And we don't know what the public and all of the different protest groups will decide to do, but we definitely need people to continue to reach out to city council. Do not listen to anyone that says that the McAdam facility should stay open because it makes it easier for immigrant communities to access their immigration rights. That is bootlicker philosophy.